Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome to Season 2, Episode 3 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. I am your host, Kofi Outlaw, and with me today is my co-host, Janelle Wheeler.
Hey, guys.
And sitting in for Matt, who is still on daddy break, is Mr. Turn Up Charlie Ridgely himself.
What's up?
And over in our relaxation lounge for Season 2 is one of our original Trinity members of Comic Book Nation. Mr. Brandon Davis is back from on the road.
What's up? Next time you guys cut over to me, I'm going to have my head back with a couple of cucumbers cut out on my eyes in this comfortable chair.
Well, we want people to get a realistic look at what life is like here at Comic Book, and that'd be a good one. So, we are back today to clean up what we started last week when we previewed all the big Super Bowl trailers that we thought you might need to keep an eye out for, and Charlie is back today to kind of play a recap on that and see what we predicted, what we got, and how we feel about it. But we've also gotten more trailers on trailers on trailers, because in addition to all the big Super Bowl movie trailers, we got the big trailer for F9 or Fast and Furious 9, which was a whole event that Universal put on to launch this. And there were some big things in that trailer that we got to definitely talk about. We have a trailer we may or may not have seen online already that we may or may not be able to talk to you about a little bit. And we have to talk Marvel Disney Plus, which was the bell of the ball for the Super Bowl for us. And there's a lot to unpack there. So we're going to get to it by jumping right on into our news segment. It's all about family on this podcast. It's all about family in the Fast and Furious franchise. Vin Diesel and the gang took over Miami last week on Friday for Road to F9, the big live concert event slash trailer premiere slash all around, questionable use of studio finances to drop the new Fast and Furious 9 trailer. So what we did is we got a kind of, it was semi-polished, semi-awkward kind of show where Ludacris and other people came out and put on a concert. Maria Menounos was trying to figure out how to fill time, running back and forth all over this weird stage. And, we got to meet the F9 cast, which includes, newcomers like John Cena and the returning cast of Michelle Rodriguez, Tyrese, Ludacris, Natalie Emmanuel. Then we got a trailer. That was it. No lives were changed. A couple of lives might have been changed. That's not true. We'll get to that in a minute. But, it was kind of a weird event, right? Like, watching this whole, Road to F9. Then I found that they aired it on TV later that night. Like, it was actually on. Like,
I didn't
at
know
night.
That.
Yeah, it was on ABC.
Yeah.
Oh,
I was,
no.
Watching TV and stuff like that. And then it was just like...
Like, the red carpet.
I mean, there's nothing on Friday nights anyway. So, they had to put something
there. Why was it on ABC and not NBC?
NBC. I said
NBC.
Oh,
NBC. NBC. Yeah, it was on NBC. Okay. Yeah.
There was 20 people at the concert. That's what's kind of surprised me is that it didn't seem like it had a lot of awareness built up in Miami. Like, it was Super Bowl weekend. Everybody was in Miami. Granted, there might have been a lot of other things to do.
Yeah, there was.
But I don't know if this was a free show or what. It just didn't seem like there was a lot of people there.
Look, what's important is the cuts on NBC, the camera cuts made it look very full.
Very.
I watched it live on Twitter.
Yeah, and it wasn't. I mean,
Twitter it looked bad.
Live on Twitter, and as I pointed out in a tweet, they didn't even put the right hashtag on it, like on the live feed. On their own feed, it said hashtag F8.
And the mic and sound cut out here and there.
Yeah.
Like, it was a mess.
Yeah,
I didn't even know this was happening.
My tweet was like something like, when you spend all the money to get all the stars in the concert and do all this, but you can't even pay the hash, like the web guys.
Oh, no, you hate to see it.
Yeah.
I appreciate Universal making the effort. A lot of studios don't really care to do events like this anymore. It's cool they tried.
But I mean, this was kind of ridiculous. We're living in an era where a trailer drop event is all you have to do is put a countdown on a YouTube screen.
Yeah. Marvel could have done it.
Yeah, and people, well,
but that's
Batman
thing.
Could do
that's
it.
The thing, though. This franchise did it last time, and it worked. Because they did it in Times Square, where there are people all the
Built
time.
In.
And they did it, I forget what, it was in the fall, or you know, but I don't remember what the event was around.
Was it Comic Con? Was it
I don't think so, but it was in Times Square, because they were all bundled up in cold, and I remember Tyrese with a big scarf, and like, it was a whole thing. And because there's already people built in Times Square, they didn't have to act like it was packed out, but they played the trailer up, you know, on the billboards in the middle of the city. Like, it was crazy.
Oh, that's cool.
And it made it feel like there was real hype for this. And this was not.
Well, it was
at
also
that
Fast and Furious coming, the actual movie coming and being set in New York was like a big event. Yeah.
That's true.
This was just like, we're going to Miami because this is where the party's at right now and we don't want to go somewhere cold.
He makes a good point though. Like, it would have been smart to have this where there's a lot of natural foot traffic, because if there's people walking by and they're like, oh, Vin Diesel's going to be here, I'll stop and wait.
Yeah.
Whereas in Miami, it was like you had to go out of your way to find this place.
But with all the Super Bowl stuff, you could have found something. Well, I think there was better ideas there to like...
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know.
Chris was there. Chris Killian was down there for us, and he has somebody who lives in Miami that he knows, and they didn't even know it was happening.
Yeah. Dude, I didn't know it was happening.
No,
Chris Killian went down there. I said, "Where's Chris Killian and Rich?" And they were like, "In Miami at the Fast and Furious event." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And then I was like, "Oh, okay." So yeah. I mean,
anyway,
but let's not beat up Universal or.
It was cool. It was a cool idea.
They tried.
Yeah, they tried.
I think we
cool
can
idea.
All agree it was a good idea.
Yeah, and it
anybody
was peak
get that
Fast
reference
and Furious.
Now?
This was peak Fast and Furious type marketing. So
Django,
let's talk about the trailer itself. So we got the trailer for F9, and basically what this kind of lays out is reveals on reveals on reveals. Basically picks up a couple years, obviously, by baby time after Fate of the Furious, when Dom is living with Letty and little Brian, and, you know, they give him that necklace that Dom and Letty have shared and said, it's for what's coming, because there's, you know, something ominous.
Space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, space. Coming soon. That's 10. This is 9.
That's not this one.
So basically what we find out is we finally get a big reveal of why John Cena's in this movie, which, you know, people were wondering, like, and he's been playing coy about, is he a hero? Is he a villain?
Hold on, John Cena was in the trailer?
Shut up. Stop, BD.
I had to.
All right.
I
so,
could not. I had to get
I know,
out of
I
way.
Get it. I get it. We didn't see him.
Obligatory John yeah. Cena joke. Didn't catch him in the trailer.
No,
he was also
there.
In the first 8 Fast and Furious movies. Okay, I'm done.
Okay, he's in there. That was for all you wrestling fans. But no, he's in the trailer for 9. It turns out he's Dom's white half-brother or brother or something. Yeah, I need a real racial background on the Toretto family at this point. I've been saying this since I saw this trailer. But yeah, I need to see their Ancestry.com or something, or like,
that's
figure
great.
Out what's going on with this family. But
he's dressed like Night at the Roxbury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dom apparently has a brother. That he's never mentioned before, and all the times he said brother over the course of the 8 films we've seen. But here we go. Dom's brother is John Cena, and he's like evil twin Dom. He can flip cars. He's the one person who can flip cars, like aerial vehicles, better than Dom.
He's like a stunt driver or something.
Well, he's everything.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's John Cena.
He's a super thief.
Super thief,
a performance driver. He's more Dom than Dom. So, and
that's
get,
like the struggle they always keep
I'm
playing. You're trying to be better than your brother.
Bald. John Cena's like known for being bald. And like, if you're going to be like the best Dom version of Dom, like,
yeah.
You're just taking all the
well,
hair.
Well, they were
off.
Like, that's too on the nose. Let's stop that. yeah. So then they're going to go, basically, it's back to vehicular war. This is kind of like a weird combination of 6 and 7. Like, it's just all out vehicular war with a super spy dude and. Now Dom's got to try to fix his own family issues and
Charlize.
Yeah, Charlize is back,
awesome.
Kind of pulling the
her
strings.
Her hair's interesting.
Yeah,
I like her dreads better.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. And so this is just kind of like we're kind of pulling together. It feels like a lot of strands of the Fast and Furious saga, now called the Fast Saga, because this is gonna pick up strands that Hobbs and Shaw dropped, that Fate of the Furious has been in all the films have been dropping since Fast 5. And so we're building up to a larger storyline. Helen Mirren's back, apparently without Deckard or Owen. I don't know why. We don't know yet. Let's just talk about the big thing. Han's back, everybody.
Han
is alive. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to have to explain that too. Where's he been during all this? But
Space.
Han is back.
I actually fell off right after that movie.
Which
so,
one, 6?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
7's worth a watch,
okay.
Definitely.
I'll say I like 8 more than 7.
I can't rock with you.
They all run together for me. Yeah. I'm not going to act like they don't. They're all five.
I just caught a marathon like a week or two ago of all the five.
Where? That's
like,
cool.
Yo, dude, it's on TV all the time.
Oh my God.
But it became a different franchise with five. On every other weekend. I just think there's no question. Fast Five is when it really started to say, forget reality.
Yeah.
We're doing whatever we want.
Well, see, Fast Five was the best mix of that. Like, because Fast Five got ridiculous, but it was still grounded.
Which one's the one where he jumps, Michelle Rodriguez gets launched over a bridge, and then he catches her on the hood of the car?
That's five or six.
Or he jumps out and catches her, and they land on the hood of the car.
Yeah. Like, five is the one with the safe.
Yeah, where he gets the safe.
That's right. Yeah. Like Johnny Depp Rio de Janeiro.
Right, exactly.
When they pulled the safe out of the bank, they did the same thing.
Yeah.
But, okay, did anyone, like, there's the scene
in
this trailer.
The Rock and Dom like, mortal enemies, and they, like, really went at it.
And then The Rock and Vin Diesel also.
Are you talking about the scene with the cord?
But no, there's, the Tarzan scene with the car was one thing. But also, like, when Michelle Rodriguez is falling and then Dom pulls up and catches her, it's like, whoa, well, thank God the car broke her fall. Like, landing on a car is going to be like, it's like landing on a mattress, apparently, in this universe.
The other scene with her, like, jumping off the bike.
I mean, you're harping on something that's way too late. I mean, this is now a tradition.
Like, honestly, when I go to watch a Fast and Furious movie at the door, even as a critic, if I know I'm going in and I have to write a review, I'm going into the mentality that when I walk through the door, my logic stays at the door.
Oh,
I'm going in to have fun, and, like, I'm not expecting.
But, like, let's just be clear.
I'm
like,
accepting this for what it
ever
is.
Ever since
and if you
Fast
can't do that,
Five,
don't watch it.
Like, in that train heist in the beginning, there's one moment in every movie where somebody does something acrobatic with a car to either catch somebody or to provide a bumper that they don't fall off a cliff. Like, when Ryan almost goes over.
Seven was the one. Was the one in
Letty
was Abu Dhabi? Or in Dubai, where he was like, when they were going through the buildings.
Yep, they jumped through the building.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, Seven has several things.
Seven has a lot.
Where they pull the aerial drop heist and Letty catches Brian when he goes over the cliff and he jumps out of his car and she spins her car around the edge and catches the bumper.
And then all of eight is on ice. The whole movie is on ice.
Well, The Rock literally single-handedly guided, redirected a torpedo.
Yes. Which is still one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Like, it's just...
I mean, we know whatever. I'm not here to beat up the Fast and Furious franchise.
No.
You know what you're getting by now.
Yeah.
I just remember the first movie where it was like that whole culture. I was part of that. I had like my little Honda and my friend had the nitrous Civic and we'd go to car meetups. Like, this was
between this and the EDM comment before the show, you were painting a very
different
picture
of
who Janelle Wheeler has.
Yeah, I love my little Honda Prelude. I had like intake exhaust. I had carbon fiber headlights.
Florida
I had the whole
girl,
thing.
Here we go.
Wow, man. You are so from Florida.
Yeah, I
am definitely from
Florida. Ordering
especially
Florida
back then, 2003, right?
It's like, get in my thing. We're going to hit the nitrous, hit this EDM festival, bro. We're going. Got to get to Tampa in 2 hours.
It's just a totally different movie.
We should do an episode of this where we just go to Janelle's hometown. It'll be the wildest.
It's really
comic
fun.
Formation.
We'll all end up at like
Florida's
Disney
different.
And Universal. And
I'm not scared to eat gator.
We'll go see
anyway,
some
Han's
manatees.
Back.
Yeah, Han's
right.
back.
Maybe
Han's
was
back.
In Florida. He's gonna come back crazy.
Han's not the only one back.
And Justice is coming. Who else is back?
Well, I mean, he appeared briefly in Seven.
Oh man, Tokyo
Sean Boswell.
Drift. Yeah,
Sean Boswell. That's my dude.
Lucas Black is back. Sean Boswell from Tokyo Drift. He makes this weird GIF-worthy appearance in the trailer where he just leans out in front of somebody.
I don't know how, because he was the one person I was looking for in this, because I thought there was no way they would bring Han back. And so I was watching this happen. I was like glued to the trailer when it came on, and I totally missed him popping up. Because
we were like, he was there.
And I tweeted about, like, okay, Han's back, and that's awesome, but like, where's Sean Boswell? And then someone replied, and he's like, he was in the trailer.
And
sent me a screenshot. And I was like, it looked Photoshopped. It looked totally Photoshopped. Yeah. He's just like popping in behind somebody's head. And then I go to in the trailer and find it, and he was right there. And I just didn't even notice at all.
Yeah, so he's coming
so
back.
Quick.
It was
like
a
I
long
said.
Trailer. You could definitely get
it was
lost
a, that trailer's over 3.5
yeah,
minutes long.
Yeah, it was
long.
Very long.
Dude, like I said.
And very poorly edited.
This is pulling together a lot of strands from the franchise. Justin Lin is back, the guy who kind of did Tokyo Drift, then 4, then 5, and 6. So he's back, and I feel like we're going to end this on 10 and kind of.
I think it was his idea to do the sibling thing. He said he just like it came to him, and he woke up and he was like, oh, I have this idea. We should do a sibling. We talk about family on the show
so
much.
You impress everybody with your extra research.
Thank you. I love researching.
Thor had a sister nobody knew about in Thor's first 4 appearances, and we all accepted that.
Whatever. I mean, we all accept this. Oh, to be fair, Thor, like, there's galaxies in different realms.
Dude, we're not
and stuff,
going down this rabbit hole.
We all accept the whole brother thing. We're all no one's not accepting of it. It's ridiculous.
I need to see the ancestry.com receipts just to know what's going on in this family. It seems like they're really cool racially, and I need to know what is going on in the Toretto family.
The thing is, in Toretto, it goes on forever because all Dom has is family.
Okay.
Yep.
Over there cracking. Everybody.
Perfect ending.
Moving right along to something. Okay, that's the F9 trailer. We're going to talk about something we may or may not have seen. There may or may not have been the new Saw trailer that somebody saw online somewhere and then we heard about. We're not going to get too deep on this because I have a feeling by the time we come back for next show, we're going to have to talk about this in detail. But we may have seen some things, and the new Saw movie looks plenty interesting.
Frightening
and interesting. It's Chris Rock who's producing and also starring in it, and it has a very much a Seven vibe to it. We were talking about in the office. Yeah, this is very kind of a cop procedural.
And just to be clear, you were talking about the movie Seven, not the Seventh Saw movie.
No.
That got
confusing. It has very much the movie Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman, David Fincher, Seven vibe to it. So if you're around the internet and you happen to find some of those weird corners of it, try to check that out because we're going to be talking about that real soon. All right, when we come back, we are going to get into a nice extended deep dive edition this week where we break down the Super Bowl trailers, starting with those Marvel Disney Plus series. So stay tuned for all of that.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Okie dokie, Smokey. So we're back talking about the Super Bowl. So Super Bowl came along. You know what this is. Studios use this opportunity to pump out some big trailers for their upcoming movies and TV shows. This year was a little different. We had some big kind of omissions this year. Sony wasn't there. Warner Brothers wasn't there. Well, kind of not there. We'll talk about that. But we still got some pretty good stuff out of it. And so we're going to talk about that. And we'll talk about some of these bigger commercials if they're time and which ones we kind of really enjoyed or not. But let's start about the thing we know we all want to hear about. We finally got our first trailer for the upcoming first slate of Disney Plus Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I thought you were about to say Minions. I was like, really?
Minions? Well, I mean, I know. Finally. You and Charlie.
Finally. I'm just kidding. No, I'm about, oh my gosh. Loki, I'm freaking out. I can't wait to talk about this.
The thirst is real. All right. So.
Florida Man.
Disney Plus Marvel shows. We got our first look at Falcon and the Winter Soldier, WandaVision, and a nice little teaser of Loki from Mr. Tom Hiddleston himself. Let's start at the top. Falcon and Winter Soldier. Meaty, you're our Marvel expert.
So
what did you think about Falcon and the Winter Soldier's first look?
It gets you more excited because now you've actually seen stuff, but we didn't see anything we didn't know was coming. I think it was a really smart play by Disney, this thing overall. It's tough to dig in there and take anything really specific that you're excited about because we knew Daniel Brühl was back. It was cool to see him again. Why is he out of jail? Or is it one of those scenarios where he's like, if you want to kill Hydra, you need me, something like that. Like, and then they have to work with him. I don't know, because obviously there's the shot of Bucky not killing him. He's emptying his gun. He's choosing not to shoot him, and there must be a reason for that. New Falcon suit looks cool for the half of a second we saw it. The three Tom Cruises coming through the sky and the wingsuits with their pistols. That, I mean, there's yellow on them. Everyone's like, oh, is it Hydra? Maybe. I don't know. But it's tough to even dig into it because we know so little. But I thought it was cool. Like, it was cool to see them again. Everybody's saying Eternals is the first thing of Phase 4 since Black Widow is a prequel. This comes before Eternals. So this is really the next step into first step into Phase 4.
I mean, it should be. We don't know entirely, but it should be.
This is coming up for Eternals. If WandaVision, there's no way WandaVision comes out in 2020 and after this, and this doesn't start before.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I believe you. I'm just saying we don't
for the
don't
know for the listeners. Yes, so let's just be accurate.
Fall 2020 is the release game.
It's the fall 2020, but exactly I'm with BD totally. Like this.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
It's going to go this. I mean, it's going to go Black Widow, Falcon, Winter Soldier. I mean, those are two really connected companion pieces in terms of espionage action. They're almost like they're spiritual kind of counterparts. So it's going to be Black Widow, then this, and then we'll get WandaVision and something.
Who knows? Maybe this is going to be late. I would not be surprised. Widow movie.
That's what I'm going to say. I don't be surprised if Yelena shows up in Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
That's a tough secret to keep, her being on set. I feel like
it would be a brief thing. It would be a very brief thing, but I think it's very possible.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, yeah, I agree. Ties like that, I don't think can be ruled out because this is going to deal with the ground level spy thriller aspect of the MCU. They're so similar in tone. And I just think Marvel can't get this out soon enough. Not necessarily Marvel, Disney can't get this out soon enough. Yeah, they Disney need content for Disney Plus. Back
that Mandalorian.
There's no Star Wars. There's so no Marvel bored. Until I mean, this.
We got Clone Wars, and that's a big deal for everyone.
That's still more of a geek thing.
That's very much more niche.
Right, but there's at least something.
Okay, yes, Disney Plus has the programming. It also has the little Timmy thing.
Timmy Failure. What's tough though is that the fall is going to be so packed on Disney Plus. I'm really interested to see how they're going to release everything because the fall you're going to have Falcon and Winter Soldier, WandaVision, and the second season of Mandalorian. They're all like late this year. So you've got like that final 4 to 5 months of the year where you're gonna have all three of these shows. Some of them are gonna have to overlap at some
point. Yeah, I would say I know what they're planning for safety, but I would push Falcon Winter Soldier like midsummer.
Yeah, probably August. I think the rumor of August is going to end up being.
Yeah,
even if they're 8 episodes each, if each one is 8 episodes, I don't see any of these being more than 8 episodes. I don't think we have official counts on anything yet.
I could see them being less.
But say it being 6 to 8. Let's say each one of them is eight. Mm-hmm. That's only 24 weeks of content.
Yeah.
You can easily go Falcon Winter Soldier, Mandalorian, WandaVision, and then you end the year with a couple weeks to spare.
Yeah. I think WandaVision will carry over 2020, 2021.
I hope so.
Maybe.
The end of the year kind of
thing. It could be a Christmas release. It could be a lot of stuff. Like, there's a lot of play. So, let's talk about WandaVision I didn't give you my softball question about Falcon and Winter Soldier. Do you think America was ready to see a black man throwing the shield?
I don't care. That's awesome.
I'm just messing with you.
They better.
I like to throw BD those crazy questions.
If anybody's complaining about that, there's no
word. Don't like that arm on my shield.
I can't respond to that on a PG show.
Okay.
But I didn't like
I think
the,
it's stupid
what was
to
the
not
football
be ready
shot
for
like the football field shot of like the new cat
well,
like,
US
like,
agent.
US government
agent. So that's Russell Wyatt who's US agent and his original
Wyatt Russell.
Are we ready for that?
Russell, I'm not Rupert Wyatt.
But
Rupert
so
Wyatt
in the comics he starts out as what's his name? Doing US good. Patriot at first.
The Patriot at first.
So he's the Patriot first and the Patriot kind of just craps all over Captain America. He criticizes him and is like a government cap.
Right.
So I think they're just going to kind of combine that,
yeah.
And he's going to be U.S. agent, but really he's going to be the one who's like, I'm the real Cap, make America Cap again, that's who that's going to be.
That brings in the other potential, you know, cross you're talking about, like Thaddeus Ross seems like could easily have a really big role to play in that, because, you know, him in the government and replacing Cap with someone who's just going to follow orders and do what he says. Mm-hmm. And
I'd love
to
see Thaddeus the idea Ross of that. Play a part in
yeah.
that. I'd love to see that.
And I was joking about the, you know, black man throwing a shield, but there are hints that this race could be actually a part of this show, and like Anthony Mackie trying to become the first black Captain America.
I mean, Disney
could be
is
part
not
of the show.
Yeah. Has shown they're not afraid to go into that territory.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you look what they did with Black Panther. That story was deeper on a racial level than I thought Disney would be willing to go.
We'll see what it is. But let's talk about WandaVision, which I've been repping for since day one.
You've been chain chomping?
I've been repping WandaVision since they announced it, because I immediately saw the potential for like what this could be and how crazy it could be playing with Scarlet Witch's powers and some of those classic storylines. And the first trailer was pretty interesting. I mean, we only got to see, well, it's not even a trailer. Like, we just saw some sizzle like footage, been like whatever. But it's still visually, the concept, it was very interesting.
So cool.
And great, because it's just them in a bunch of costume changes and in a big kind of super cut. But it suggests a lot of very interesting storytelling from this show about two people being kind of locked in a fantasy world together. It looks like it's going to take parts of some of the most famous Marvel storylines for both characters, whether that's Tom King's Vision series, where he had kind of his own family and was trying to actually live a human family life, or Avengers Disassembled / House of M, where Scarlet Witch went crazy with her powers and made her own reality. out of grief and stuff like that. So all of these things are kind of possibly at play. And the good thing is, even once we get past this core kind of interesting concept we haven't seen for the MCU before, there's still, you know, the promise of a blockbuster, quote unquote, Marvel movie at the end of this with a possible big villain reveal. And we know ties to both Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness and the Loki show. So,
which is awesome. I heard that, or didn't.
And now, speaking of Loki, like, wait. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good.
I just want to finish this thought. Now that we've seen Loki, the one little teaser shot in the Time Variance Authority vest he's wearing, it could explain a little bit more about how this does feed into WandaVision and like where.
Bring in Kang the Conqueror, baby.
Janelle, sorry. We cut you off. What were you saying?
I've just been seeing some people say that it might, instead of it being Wanda's own reality that she created, there is actually her coach. And, you know, I don't have a huge background. This other witch character that is actually projecting this dream life for her.
Could it be Clea?
Perhaps.
And then that's Clea becomes the villain of Doctor Strange?
I've been seeing like little things about that.
It'd be interesting
to
see Clea as a villain.
Clea is the first thing that comes to
it's
my mind.
It's like her mentor, like Wanda's teacher.
Agatha Harkins?
Agatha.
Yeah.
Yes, Agatha.
That's why they pay me some good bucks for this.
You're a pro. I've been seeing that like she could be projecting this and Wanda's trying to get out of that.
There's that theory. There's a theory that Nightmare or Vision,
another Doctor Strange,
a villain rumored for, this could be for Doctor Strange, could be at this, which would be a very kind of mirroring like Wonder Woman 84 story where there's this person who gives you what you want or you think you want in life and kind of creates this thing, but there's always like this devil's bargain in it.
Max Lord reference.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
The one thing that I'm interested to see with this is how they incorporate Wanda's like history and her powers, because, you know, as we know from the comics, like, she has such a complicated history and such a complicated background.
And she's a mutant.
Right. You know, her intro in the MCU really kind of skated around all that.
It pre-foxed that.
You know? Even without the mutant stuff, like all of her learning powers, like so much of her big time powers, like came, like she figured those out as she was going, and as, you know, Ultron kind of like empowered her to do so. And her background is much simpler, you know, with her and her brother and her parents, and then when they died, then when he died, you know, a lot of it's really contained. And so how they're going to be able to navigate, if they navigate at all, her history and her powers kind of backwards.
Well, they've already teased that this will be a kind of transformative step for her character. Mm. Just going from being kind of like a loosely defined psychic to the full quote unquote witchiness of her powers. So we're going to get that kind of soft retcon to, oh, you thought your powers were only this, but really they're this immense and this is how powerful you really are. And they've also been teasing her as like one of the most powerful characters in the franchise. And this is where we're going to finally kind of.
Yeah, man, because they really never like
built up,
defined her powers to this point. Mm-hmm. So,
and that becomes to me the hardest line to walk when you're making one of these movies or TV shows. When you have characters as powerful as Scarlet Witch or Captain Marvel or Superman, like it just becomes so hard to make them still interesting, I think, when you're putting them in this world, because it's so hard to like make them vulnerable. And sometimes they nail it and sometimes they don't. Like, so it depends on the story and the execution. That's going to be a hard line for them to walk, I think, is if they get her to that max power. Like, why didn't they just use her to beat Thanos like that?
Well, I think one will show, like,
why was she up there this whole time?
Like I said, I think this one will show, like, yes, she has the power, but not the control. And that'll
and that's going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
And what people are saying,
she will be her own vulnerability.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that could be really cool. And so, she'll actually get an actual Scarlet Witch costume, even if they just went to Party City to pick it up.
Oh, stop it.
Halloween. It was just a little
Easter egg.
It probably literally is a Party City costume. Like, it probably is a Halloween costume.
Yeah.
She's wearing, and maybe she'll adopt the look.
All right, so nothing left much to say about this. We saw Loki. He's going to burn this down. He's wearing the Time Variant Authority, which suggests some time travel elements to this. And since he's from a... It would make sense, since this is Loki from a kind of weird branch timeline who's now running around the MCU.
He never turned into a good guy.
Yeah, so.
For anyone who doesn't know what that is, I had to look that up. Can you kind of recap what time variant?
Why don't you recap, researcher?
I'm going to sound so silly. Basically, like a organization that is in charge of keeping the Marvel timeline in order. And
they don't do a very good job.
Yeah, they don't do a good job. And every time like a splinter pops off, like a new creature thing is born and has to handle that case, I guess. And so that's kind of, is that right?
Am I in the right direction?
Time police.
They're like the Rick and Morty time police. Yeah. Exactly, pretty much. Good enough. Which if you've ever seen Rick and Morty, they have their own version of that, which are hilarious. Like
I have a theory for what are, at least what I want to see with this Loki thing and the time variance story. But before I say that, Brandon, you got to break some really exciting news.
I found out with absolute certainty that Owen Wilson is in the cast of Loki. Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
What?
Broke that. Who from knew? A plane.
That's I, great. Dropped, what? I dropped that from a plane. 35,000 feet it fell over the
Yeah, Atlantic. So we got to, I mean, it'd be hilarious if he's like a time variant.
I want him to be all the time variants authority police. All and the new creatures saying, are all played by Tom so or by I, Owen
different
Wilson.
Versions of
I have since heard, and I haven't reported this, but I'll say here, I'm not 100% sure on this, but I heard he's not in every episode. In most of the episodes, he's not in every episode, and he's meant to be very funny.
It'll be really interesting to see him and Tom Hiddleston.
Well, and Tom Hiddleston does almost impressions all the time, and I think that's great because I want Loki to mock him and do an impression of him in the thing. I bet Loki
I just
will,
want Tom Hiddleston to appear, and then Owen Wilson just goes, wow. Just like if he doesn't say wow in this series,
just,
then.
Well, aren't you just a big trickster?
Like, I want him to be the Time Variance Authority's version of. I'm blanking on his
What
name.
If he's a time variance not, authority guy and he says, like, Nick we Fury. Have a stage five time variance.
Agents
issue.
Of S.H.I.E.L.D. Coulson. Five. I blanked on Coulson, but like time travel Coulson.
They already did that in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It didn't work out well.
But Tom Wilson.
All right. So that's Loki. Let's move on and wrap up. Charlie, take us through some of our. We did a lot of predictions for these trailers. What were some of them? I mean, disappointments for me. The Netflix stuff was a disappointment for me. I was really hoping we could see Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead.
I'm sorry I got your hopes up about that.
Well, I mean, it was a good call. I thought it might happen. And
I'm surprised Netflix totally sat out the ball altogether. They've been like a couple of years now. They've had
the Oscars are also coming up. So
the best commercial was the Sonata commercial, but we saw that before the Super Bowl.
Yeah we're going to talk about that. We're just talking about trailers right now.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So Black Widow, that was kind of disappointing for everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it was just
it was like we've seen so much of this movie that they didn't.
It was
really...
just to remind you that it was coming out.
Yeah. I have a theory that Florence Pugh was edited into the shot of the four of them and she's not actually there. Mm. Take a look at it. Because I've been on the train that Florence Pugh, either, Yelena Belova either dies or Natasha, Charlie brought this up, Natasha probably thinks she's dead, but she's not because you don't cast Florence Pugh for just one movie. I think at that point, she's either dead or thought dead by Natasha and the gang. Hmm. So she was edited into that shot where the four of them are in all that rubble.
Marvel does that sneaky stuff all the time, mm-hmm. so you're probably... But this
I'm still waiting for the Hulk to show up in Wakanda.
Super Bowl, I mean, the Super Bowl spot basically just reminds, like, hey, we have Russian Avengers. Here you go, family. All right.
Yeah,
here you go.
That was pretty much it.
Yeah.
Yep. So, Minions. I mean, it was a Minions trailer.
I was expecting more of what Minions did and what Mulan or Disney did with Mulan of like, here's a spot, watch the trailer online or later because the full Minions trailer is coming on, you know, on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they only gave us a little spot and it looks like it's going to be the silliest and most ridiculous of the Minion movies. They're going to rely way too much on jokes that don't work anymore. And
maybe we just grew up.
Yeah.
Bet they still work with kids.
I don't know.
I mean, I think kids would laugh.
I can't get my kids to watch a Minion
movie. The Despicable Me movies are actually
I've gotten my kids to watch Despicable Me, like the first one or the second one. But the Minions movie, they can't. I mean,
yeah.
Like, they're not into it?
The Minions movie are just
Well, they can't maintain. Like, they laugh at like a scene or two, and then they just can't maintain attention on
it. Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. That's why the Minion shorts work so well, because they're 5 minutes of the Minions being dumb, and then you can stop watching.
Yeah. Minions is like if you, like, snorted something very powerful and were, like, running around the room and just kept looking at the TV, and that's what you would see the whole time. It's just like, meow, 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 meow.
I just call that Tuesday.
Yeah. Talking from a friend's experience.
Yeah.
But
Minions are a lot. The Despicable Me movies themselves are good. The Minions ones, the first one was okay. I think this one could be not so great.
One
but it's going to make a lot of money.
One of my favorites was Amazon's Hunters, which I am definitely signed up for.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Now, like, about the story of a true story of, like, or based on a true story of a 70s kind of New York group that came together to hunt Nazis that were hiding out in the U.S.
Yeah.
And this trailer was really great and sold this almost like in horror film fashion with, like, dark. It reminded me of Apt Pupil, this Super Bowl spot. Basically, underneath this finally suburban stuff are some really crazy Nazis. And the way that they put together this Nazi hunting band of people look badass. Like, yeah, there's one scene with an Asian guy just holding down a dude and, like, punching him in the face. And I was just like, oh.
It's got the guy from Trick or Treat playing a Nazi. I can't remember his name. I'm looking it up now. The creepy pumpkin carving guy from
Trick or Treat. Dude, you don't know. That's not the dude, Dylan Baker, the lizard from the original Spider-Man movies.
I can't. I'm looking. Yeah, Dylan Baker.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Yeah. That's not where they found
the kicker
him
from The Replacements?
No, dude.
That's the other lizard.
The reason why Dylan Baker, if you ever want to know why Dylan Baker gets cast as creepy dudes living in suburbs, go watch Happiness. Yeah, Todd Solondz is Happiness. That's all I'll say. Anybody listening, you've seen Happiness. You know what that's about. And you know what Dylan Baker does in that movie. And and you know why he gets these roles now. So but
if you've only seen Trick or Treat, I mean, he's still really
well. That's why they cast him in Trick or Treat as the creepy guy, because Happiness. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But yeah, Amazon's Hunters. That
Hunters looks great.
Top Gun Maverick was very Top Gunny. It was like for every Top Gun bro at the Super Bowl. Was your trailer.
I'm more excited about this than I thought it would have been for a Top Gun.
Yeah, it looks compelling.
Joseph Kosinski, the director, like how he's doing all the practical stuff with the planes, with the flight. I think, I mean, that alone, between that and Glenn Powell, like
there's a lot of plane porn on what's going on. And like, I'm going to be, if you're into aeronautics and all that stuff, like there's a lot of plane
porn. It was nice because it was like with the breathing, it kind of takes you into that moment and you start kind of breathing along with it. And then you start to feel like this anxiety when he's doing the tricks. And I'm like, okay, this is a nice touch. Like it got me there.
Yeah, I think it's going to be not improving. The original one's good. I think this will be really, really good for a new audience. I mean, similar to, I don't think it's going to be as good as Mad Max Fury Road was, but what Mad Max Fury Road did for that franchise, I think this has that opportunity.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah. Top Gun bros are coming out for this for sure. Finally, to kind of clean up our heavy breathing, doing vehicular stunts theme of these trailers, we also got No Time to Die with its own kind of low orbital flight.
Every time I see something from that movie, I like it more and more. That this is No Time to Die is one that, you know, I like Bond. It was going to be good. All the troubles behind the scenes were worrisome, but now everything we see from this movie, I feel like it gets better and better. And like this TV spot was really, really good.
And him and Lashana Lynch looks very good in this. Yeah. I think like super she's been like intriguing. A really unsung hero. Her kind of riffing off Bond is a very kind of different take on the Bond girl formula. And she's like a 00. And they've tried to do it with like Halle Berry's Jinx and everything, but they all end up always just dropping trowel for Bond anyway and becoming typical Bond girls.
And Lashana Lynch is here for none of his
crap. Yeah, exactly.
I'm really excited about
it. And it's very good. And her just, the dialogue between the two of them throughout the movie, I think, will be like one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, and Rami Malek's getting to do what Rami Malek should do all the time and be like this really creepy, terrifying
villain. Be a young Dylan Baker in training.
I love that.
Finally, for the biggest disappointment, Wonder Woman 84.
Tie Dad.
Best part of it was Charlie Day just showing up in multiple Tie Dads throughout the night. And
I didn't see this.
Warner Brothers sat it out, but Wonder Woman replayed a mall fight scene, and then in the middle of it, Charlie Day shows up with his laundry and is just still carrying it. He's like, they spliced it together. So
it was like a bit from the trailer, and he should, because he had a running. Remember a couple years ago, David Harbour like kept popping up in ads. He's like, nope. It's Tie Dad. It was basically a version of that with Charlie Day. Like, how do I get my stain out? It was that kind of. It was that same like running gag.
Okay.
So Warner Brothers flubbed it in order to get their stupid little Super Bowl spot. So all right. Well, that was trailers. You guys can tell us which ones you love best at the hashtag Comic Book Nation. Just to take us out, let's talk about Super Bowl commercials. Let's just go around real quick and everybody tell me what was your favorite one, Charlie.
I mean, the quick answer is Smart Pack because it was perfect, but I did see it before the Super Bowl came out, so
that's okay.
The other one I really liked a lot was the Little Caesars with the sliced bread company just going up in flames and Rainn Wilson throwing a fit for an entire minute. It was really funny.
I like the Rick and Morty. I'm not even like a consumer of this show, but I just thought it was hilarious and I just thought it was very well done, the Pringles. And then didn't we get trolled by Brady? That was cool.
Yeah,
the Brady,
that was
nice.
Brady trade. That was, it was a nice troll.
I dig it.
Kofi.
So, you know me, you know my humor. I love Baby Nut just for the jokes that
Baby Nut. I forgot.
I don't like the actual Baby Nut, but I like, you know, the real life applications of this are already paying for themselves, so that's good.
Yeah, I mean, Planners, that's the most successful campaign
year
so far. Everyone's talking about it.
Yep.
Brandon?
My favorite's already been named, but so I liked the Google one. I thought it was really touching.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh, that
I did.
It was the worst.
I liked it
for the emotional stuff, but then I was like, my grandma can't use a damn thing. My grandma calls me to unlock her phone, and it's a flip phone still.
Yeah.
Like, my grandma's
preparing you for when you need to call
it's
on
preparing
Google
all
memories.
Of us because we're going
to
be.
We're going to be able to use technology.
We're going to have like AI running our lives by the time we're that age.
I can't wait.
I'm probably going.
I just want to live in the oasis.
I'll be with my axe in the woods somewhere.
I totally forgot about that one. I've cried every time.
No computers. I'll be off the grid by then. I'll be hiding out in Alaska with everybody else hiding out in Alaska. So I don't have to worry about that future. But all right. Anything else? Anybody have anything else they want to add? Super Bowl? Anything you were disappointed
about? If you know the name of that song, please let me know.
I was overall disappointed by the trailers. I mean, we got some good stuff. The Disney Plus thing was great.
Dude, this is getting like, Super Bowl's getting like Comic-Con. It's just getting more disappointing for movies every year. So
we need whatever the Brazil Comic-Con version of TV events is, we need that to come along.
That'll do it for this episode of Comic Book Nation. If you guys are just getting now into the show in season two, we drop new episodes every Wednesday and every Friday on comicbook.com. You can subscribe to our RSS feed. Right now, they've pulled our player for some tech testing, which is, you know, not fun for us. So you'll find at the bottom of each comicbook.com article a link to where you can go to listen to the podcast. It's a little bit extra work, which usually makes the internet lazy, but go ahead and do us that favor and click through and listen to this latest episode and all the others we've launched in season two. We'll have our player back soon, hopefully for your convenience. If you want to listen on your favorite listening platforms and not on comicbook.com site, you can look for us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Google Podcasts, Google Playlist, and you can always check out video of us on the comicbook.com YouTube page. If you want to talk to any of us about anything we talked about on the show, hit us up at the hashtag comicbooknation, or you can find me at Kofi Outlaw.
You can find me at Janelle Wheeler on Twitch and all the socials.
At Charlie Ridgely, anywhere that there is one of those socials.
Internet.
That's the word. Yeah.
Yeah, socials.
And if it's comic book related, you can probably find BD pretty closely attached to it. Everybody knows who you are. We're going to stop plugging you. We got to start giving you your level of fame. We don't need to plug you. BD is here. He's out here always. So you can find him out on the road. That'll do it for this episode. We are Comic Book Nation. We'll see you guys later. I'm sorry. Oh, man, I'm so bad at this. I'm such a bad host. Matt sent us in comic recommendations, but I totally screwed this up. So next episode, we will give you Matt's full breakdown of comics you need to read this week because he did get up off the couch and put that together for me. And as the great host I am, I'm just going to totally throw his work away. All right, that'll do it for this episode of Comic Book Nation. We'll see you later. Deuces.